For June the 9th, 2017, we talk about some pre-E3 announcements, Friday the 13th, and we ask you which games you stopped right at the end. Welcome to Level 199. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
My name's David Meismith.
Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Sorry about last week, everybody.
The old bait and switch.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. When your family doesn't tell you that there's going to be kind of a family reunion thing. And can you stay up for another couple days?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's, on the plus that's side, like one of the best reasons to delay a show.
It's
a great reason.
I say, well, you know, Ben, is there anything about me that says, hey, this is a guy who will go for something spontaneous?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
All right, guys, call it off. We were going to surprise party you this episode, but I'll go back to our posts.
We're all done here. Yeah. No. So that's
on the plus side.
Oh. No, go
on
for
the plus. On the plus side, though, we now officially have fan fiction.
Yeah, we do.
We realize that we do not actually need to do the show anymore. Our listeners can take care of it for us.
I was looking at that with just utter horror and realized that, like, oh God, we're not we're not needed here anymore. No. So put up the apology message saying, hey, sorry, no show this week. And then people decided, oh, well, we can do our own show in the comments. And then they just did the show in the comments. So,
and it was amazing.
Yeah. It was great. I thought, so like maybe six comments in, I thought about being like, this is amazing in the comment. I'm so glad I didn't do that, though.
Of course.
Because it goes on for like another 30 and it's a complete show.
So good on those folks for bringing that entertainment. You know, I'm trying to think of like, wait, who in here do we... Oh my gosh, 46 more comments. You know, we have Russell Nix, we have Jonathan Rule, we have Franz Van Bellen.
I think those are the three that carried it through.
Yeah.
Good on you guys.
Yeah.
So good work. That was very entertaining. I'm trying
Slash
to
startling, but
yeah, it's entertaining, but it's also an existential threat. So it's like the Trump presidency. Hey, yeah.
Or just 30s in general.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's what's going on up here. We're excited because Jala is going to be here in Cincinnati this weekend, which will be fun. We're also seeing some more people. Well, how about you guys? What's been going on since we last talked? Ben.
So I have a decent number of video games to talk about this week. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, good, because I don't have anything.
I will carry you, Cole.
Okay.
It'll be one set of players in the sand.
David, it sounded like you had something.
Yeah, so I went to Austin and visited Ben and Jala. So that was that was pretty spiff.
Yeah.
Austin is even more crazy than I expected. So
I think that makes it everybody on the podcast has come to visit in Austin now. So yeah. Kudos.
Nice.
Nice. Yep. Where'd you guys go in Austin? Ben, where did you take them?
We went to ABGB, which was, I think, one of the places I suggested when the duck people were here, but got vetoed. Mm. But I'll have to drag people there eventually sometime. It's like a brewery
you have
pizza
your
place.
Revenge.
Yeah. But I think that was it. I can't remember if we went over the second night or not. It was weird because we had one night together and then I was supposed to fly out the next night. Because I was going out of town that weekend, but my plane got canceled, so I ended up being there two nights, but then it was just weird.
Yeah.
We did go to Torchy's.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's the taco place you took me to, right, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
I still say that should be the name of a Pokemon.
Torchy.
Torchy, the taco-type Pokemon.
What's the weakness of tacos? Water?
Yeah, Snorlax. There's no such thing as a good soggy taco.
Rocks.
Rocks, yeah. We're just listing things that would not be good on a taco.
Correct, yes. Yeah.
be fair, like, I know. I feel like you could go that way with most of them, like ghosts. I don't know
Oh,
about
yeah, but
ghost taco.
Ghost
taco.
Ghost type.
I'm haunted
and I
by
feel
memories
like
of
ghost,
that.
Ghost
type
pepper
is
taco.
Pretty obvious.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That would be ghost and fire combined.
Unless I although I guess ghost peppers might be good on tacos, so.
Yeah.
Ghost of a comment that was made 5 seconds ago.
Yeah. Dennis, how about you? What you been up to?
Not much. I'm trying to go through the inventory of the past couple weeks. It's been life as usual.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to prolong it. We've got the usual kind of show for you, the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And why don't we get started with
The brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Let's see. Kind of a slow news week, I noticed. But Dennis, you have something from WWDC that happened here this past Monday, right?
Yeah, pretty cool. They just decided, hey, surprise, middle of the conference, we're going to announce a sequel to Monument Valley, which obviously, Cole, you played, have a ton of affection for.
Oh, yeah.
And a ton of people had a ton of affection for, because I think it won Game of the Year when it came out.
Wouldn't be surprised. I think it got an Apple Design Award as well.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a great game. And they just full on revealed, hey, there's a sequel coming and it's available right now.
There's a sequel coming at the end
Surprise!
Of this sentence.
Yeah. Basically, it's interesting to see the way that they're changing it. So for anyone not familiar with the game, it's like a puzzle platformer, and Cole, stop me where I screw any of this up, that plays with that kind of non-Euclidean geometry. Just the, you know, levels that kind of fit together in ways that only work because it is a drawn 3D perspective.
Right.
And
it's like forced perspective puzzles almost.
Just like Escher. So if something looks like you can walk to it, you can walk to it, even if physically that would not actually be plausible.
Even if you can't walk to it.
Right.
You can't walk to it, or you can walk to it even if you can't.
Right.
So that was the first game. And the second game adds a second character. So now you're playing as a mother-daughter duo. Yeah. And while early in the game that you're still kind of sticking to controlling one character, you kind of do wind up taking control of both at the same time. Later in the game, there's new mechanics in terms of having kind of worlds within worlds in the level. So you walk through a doorway and that zooms in on a piece of the level that's an entire, you know, new world of in and of itself. And then they also have trees that come into play that will like grow into new platforms when exposed to sunlight. And again, this being forced perspective puzzles, I imagine they'll do some really interesting things with the way light interacts with this kind of world that doesn't always work geometrically the way it should. So those are all kind of cool ideas, and I'm excited to see how they play out.
Yeah.
Visual style is very much the same, which is a good thing.
Yeah. No, this is really, they announced it, and then I got so busy that I forgot to download it that day. So I'm like way into just hopping on board this thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. I don't know if there's anything more on that. There wasn't anything.
I hope I haven't played the original, so I hope this means that the original will go on some kind of sale.
I'm positive it will. I'm positive it'll be it's frequently on sale too. It's usually like $2, something like that. Yeah. I can't remember. Like there was no other gaming news out of the Apple event aside from the fact that the new iMacs and specifically the iMac Pros, I believe, are being built specifically with VR in mind. So that is something that is exciting. But doesn't impact me right now.
But wait,
hey,
there is another
which.
Story.
What?
I pushed the story in Slack. There is one more story for the WWDC. Peter Jackson is running a game studio, or he's like somehow associated with it enough so that they put his name at the top of the bill to get people interested. But it's called
so barely.
Wingnut. Yeah. It's called like Wingnut Studios, and they're working on an AR game. And so they did a demo at the conference where they had a blank table, and they had a person with an iPad circling the table, and it was showing the game being played through the iPad. So the iPad essentially has a camera that's looking at the table. They do all the tracking of like the physical objects in the area, and then they will project like the game onto whatever the surface is. And they had some, it's a very like cheesy speech slash demo, like most of these like presentations are, where they have like really corny jokes and stuff, like look out of the way for the aliens.
But, it's not really a joke, it's just a statement about what's happening.
I don't know. Yeah, it's like people trying to be a part of a culture that they're not typically in, I guess.
But they
had a demo of like people like fighting, and they had people like interacting with the environment. So for example, they had like some of the like the it was a battle between like aliens, and it looked like cowboys versus aliens, like it's an old town or whatever, and there's alien ships flying around for some reason shooting stuff. But they had one of the characters like run and naturally fall off of the table, like it detects the surface and I guess it somehow interacts with it. I don't know how. Obviously, like there's going to be probably problems with that if. I don't know how they take all that into account with AR, but it's a really cool video though. It's cool to see the potential for it, but of course I imagine the actual product is going to be much different than what the demo video that they show is. So who knows?
Was the demo, was this completely staged or was it like a tech demo?
Yes, completely staged. It was essentially a demonstration of the technology. There was no like player interaction with it. So it's basically a person walking around the table like the entire time and pointing the iPad at it. And so you basically see the scene unfold, but you can see like the background like update with based on where the person is. So you can see it like draw in front of like a person who's standing in the background, like another presenter. And so you can kind of see that technology and have that update in real time. So. That's kind of the cool part of it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they'll take into account like whatever surface you might have, you know?
Yeah.
So
I'm curious about it. I think I'm more curious about AR than VR. Just because I don't like the feeling of being enclosed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's hygienic.
Although I feel like, I feel like this is less AR that is like the most depressing way of implementing the hologram computer game from Star Wars.
How is it depressing?
Well, because instead of it's like, you know what would be great? If we could play that really badass hologram game, but you could only see a part of it about the size of a paperback book at a time.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like this is just probably the first step. Like, you'd probably eventually integrate this with, like, wearable technology like Google Glass or something like that, but...
Yeah. That's what Microsoft's HoloLens is, right?
Yep.
I think so, yeah.
That, from what I've heard, that's kind of what it sounds like, anyways.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you for correcting me on that, because I forgot that like that was the first WWDC in a long time that I didn't watch live when it happened. So I'm not surprised I missed that. Hmm. Yeah.
I'll be interested. Like I was pretty pumped by the XCOM board game, which was just an app that ran alongside the game. So the potential for like seeing that integrated more interesting in visual ways is pretty exciting to me.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready to watch my figures die.
Yeah.
Frequently. Yeah. I've got one. So we're in the week before E3, I think. So everything we say could be invalidated. But Nintendo did one of their events in the lead up to that, specifically relating to the Pokemon franchise, including some stuff that I'm not really that crazy about, like updated versions of Sun and Moon for the 3DS. Yeah. People thought that there was going to be a Pokemon game for the Switch coming out, but no dice. There's no Pokemon Star, which is what people were speculating it was going to be. But what I am excited about is the continuing kind of effort to bring classic Pokemon stuff to the 3DS Virtual Console. Specifically this time, in September, they are bringing Pokemon Gold and Silver to the 3DS Virtual Console, and it'll play nice with the Pokemon Bank, so anything you catch you can load up and transfer across. Like, I think, yes, big thumbs up for that. They need to get more of these games on there, so it can all be one big ecosystem. But yeah, I like this a lot because Pokemon Gold and Silver were kind of where I left off of the series a little bit. And, oh, nice. And like, I think that they, you know, like those are my favorites. So there's the ones where, that I have kind of the best, you know, the best opinion of them. I think that they got it right there.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I still want a Pokemon MMO.
Yeah, that would actually be a really good fit. But oh man, didn't
they could call it like Pokemon the game you actually want to be playing.
Pikachu needs to beef up.
World of Warcraft, when they did the Pandera expansion, mm-hmm. or whatever it was, they actually put in like a monster fighting thing, right? Like you could
battle pets, yeah.
You
can recruit the little critters that are running around. Mm.
They call them Mokapon.
That's a dumb joke. So, really? Do they?
No.
Okay.
I think it's just battle pets.
As you didn't respond, I got a sneaking suspicion that you were being serious.
See, silence can convince Cole of anything.
Yeah.
I was just incredibly disappointed that they didn't let you do. There's a whole bunch of like weird critter pets in the game, and I was really disappointed that most of the just off the wall ones they didn't actually make it allowed to use. So normally any of the little creatures that you can get to follow you around as vanity items can be used to fight, but some of those creatures are like a balloon or a small child, and none of those are actually compatible with the battle system, which kind of disappointed me.
Kid fights, man. I want kid fights. Now with Baby Buster. Yeah.
There's got to be a Pokemon that looks like a small child.
There's
too many not to at this point.
Yeah, like Machop, right?
To be fair, don't all of the Pokemon kind of look like small children?
In a way, yeah.
Yeah, they're what? All... especially the birds. The birds look especially like young children.
I mean, I don't have any kids, but I'm pretty sure they don't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't seen the way Milo and Luke have leveled up.
That's true.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Luke is just constantly on fire now, and Milo moves around by sinking to little tar pits and popping up in other places. It's adorable.
Yeah.
Is that what Pokemon
do? The one I always thought is you go to the gas station and they have Blue Rhino brand propane, and that thing is clearly a Pokemon.
Yep.
Rhyhorn.
Yep.
Yeah. So in the WoW version of that, could you fight your Diablos and your Terran SCVs or whatever you got? Like those are part of the system?
Yeah. Yep.
Huh. Wow.
Pretty much any of them, like I said, that except for the ones that would just didn't make any sense. You could do all that. It was kind of cool.
Huh. Well, there we go. David, round us out. What's going on with the Umbrella Corporation?
So apparently, and a medical skins center in Vietnam, which is apparently like, as far as I can tell, like elective like acne treatment and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Their logo is straight up the logo for Umbrella Corp. And like not even, this isn't even just kind of like, there's a couple years ago where Starbucks came out with a glass for like summer that was like a top view of a beach ball that happened to look like it. No, this is straight up the Umbrella Corp logo, and even more so, like for some reason, instead of being like a normal hospital-y looking logo, it's like all corroded and like creepy looking.
Yeah, it looks like they pulled it from like an Umbrella Chronicles game or something.
Yeah, they have exactly. To have.
There's no way they didn't.
Yeah, they claim it's you know, it was just a coincidence. Of course they would. and actually I'm assuming a couple of people report this, but I got saw it in Kotaku, and one of their comments I think is completely on point. They point out that the logo just makes every picture from inside the hospital just look super, super sinister.
Super menacing, yeah. Yeah. I like the end line of this article. Medicare Skin Center apparently had no idea, writing on its Facebook page that it was also very surprised by this coincidence. And also very surprised by this coincidence. Those are in quotes. Okay. So I've been a huge Resident Evil fan for 20 years now, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I'm looking at the Umbrella Corp logo, and I'm just now, 20 years later, realizing that the red part actually makes a red cross.
I guess I never noticed that.
Yeah.
Really?
I had never noticed that before.
Oh, yeah.
Well, fuck me, I guess.
Did you notice that the white part actually makes a white X?
Yeah, conversely. I'll just be over here playing with my trucks.
That's sort of like I drove a Saturn Ion as my first car for years before I realized that their logo wasn't just an abstract shape.
Oh, yeah, it was. I can see that a little bit, because you could just look at it like, oh, these are two arcs, not right. One of these is the planet and the other is the ring. Yeah.
But we can only fit about a third of it.
Right. And also at this weird angle. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is just super sketch. The other thing is, like, I feel like most hospitals, like, they've got the freaking, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing going on, where it's like, we need to not only have this obvious logo, but put it on everything.
It's all about branding, dog.
Just in case you forget that you're in a hospital, which I guess you can wake up and not know where you are, so lots of obvious, you know, hospital signs.
I actually have a history of that. I do not deal well with general anesthesia.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that's how I killed a man.
Well, last time I did wake up and rip the IV out of my arm. Oof, so.
I got kind of dizzy thinking about that.
I know. Apparently that's a thing. Like, certain people, like, that's one of the side effects. It's just, like, it makes certain people just, like, crazy irritable for no reason.
Yeah, I've heard you're either a crier or a laugher is the thing I've heard about general.
Crier, laugher, or Incredible Hulk.
Crier, laugher, or angry person who can feel no pain. Yeah, now.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
Yeah, I asked them a while ago, so... thank you guys for being patient. I asked, for our 199th episode, we want to know what's the closest you've gotten to finishing a game without actually completing it, what pulled or pushed you away so late in the game, and do you have any regrets about not seeing it all the way through?
Edge that game.
Yeah.
I will get started here.
Soon to be a Duck Feed t-shirt.
Edge that game. I will start with Nick, who says, I stopped playing Final Fantasy VII right as you're about to go down into the cave that leads to the final confrontation with Sephiroth. I think I was intimidated by how long it allegedly was and was worried that my party wasn't spec'd properly for it. For being one of my favorite games, I've never really regretted it. Once the remake comes out, I'll probably make more of a concerted effort to see it through. This is
that's impressive on your one of your favorite games, nonetheless.
I'm it's impossible not to know how that game ends.
Are you worried about spoilers right now? Are you worrying about spoilers right now?
No, I'm definitely not worrying about spoilers. I'm just saying, like, oh, he knows how it ends. Like
I've never played it. I don't know how it ends.
Yeah, I have no idea. Last time when I left off the game, I just assumed that the game ended up as an infinite stair climbing simulator.
Wait a second. Does nobody know how Final Fantasy VII ends?
Nope.
Has everyone not actually finished Final Fantasy VII and knowing and is willing to say that the Emperor has no clothes?
Well, I mean, it was pretty...
I mean, if that's how it ends...
It was pretty ahead of its time in terms of depicting nudity in video games. So, yeah. Nick's answer is actually really similar to mine, but I will see if somebody actually brings it up. Yep, looking down a couple of responses, someone does. So, David, what does Greg say?
Greg says, I'd always heard what a great game that Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 is. So when the enhanced edition of the games came out on Steam over a year ago, I bought them. Started playing through Baldur's Gate 1 during my staycation in the first week of July 2016 and got all the way through the game, doing all the optional stuff and log in about 50 game hours, right up to the final fight. Couldn't beat him after a few tries and was already trying it on easy, so put the game aside to try again later and just never have. Mostly I blame lack of time and the disinterest in trying to see what else I can do. Intend to finish it eventually so I can import the party into Baldur's Gate 2 and start playing that. Maybe on this year's staycation.
Just keep telling yourself that.
Yeah. 50 hours. Yeah.
Non-trivial.
Non-trivial. Very much so. Like this entire list, everybody's answer is a massive RPG. Huh. Mm. Ben, what does Michael say?
Michael says, I got to the last boss of Dragon Age 1. I bounced off that dragon bastard for 4 hours before quitting. The boss's constant knockdown attacks stopped me from using my player character. The plot removed the best range caster for my party right before, and I gave up never buying another Dragon Age game again. Thanks, BioWare.
Yeah, that's kind of a bullshit thing where people will just leave your party right before the final encounter.
Yeah. And it's not like, you could have made better choices before the fight.
I think it might be like it might just be like, oh, you should have taken better care of them, and that way they would have stuck around. Yeah, I don't know. It just I understand that is partially what that game is about, is making sure your party members are happy. But that cut Michael in a bad way.
I feel like if they're not telegraphing it enough that it's not a surprise, then they've done it bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, aren't you supposed to be a military unit? Like, so you didn't play nice, so your guys go AWOL?
Well, you're not like a military unit. You're just you're a ragtag group of people trying to save the world.
Oh, I thought you were some sort of military leader.
Wasn't it like something Grey Wolves or something?
Yeah, the Grey Warden. So you are Warden. you're a leader, but like you are a BioWare protagonist. So it's just like the chosen one and their friends.
Well, that's the thing, is like Knights of the Republic, I think, did a much better job where it's like you can go the evil route and they have a way that's fun for that mm-hmm. type of playthrough if yeah. you want to do that. But
yeah. Bummer. Let's see. Dennis, what does David say?
David says, despite logging near or over 1,000 hours in Morrowind, Oblivion, Skyrim combined, I've never finished the story in any of them. Oh my god. The only reason I know how any of them end is because Morrowind was covered on WoF. That's more a function of me not caring about the storylines than anything else. I love those games.
To be fair, I didn't realize Morrowind had a plot. I'm not saying that it's like snark to the game. I liked the game. I don't think I ever actually even got to the point of starting the plot. So I feel like David is miles ahead of me.
I think David's case is actually pretty close to the norm. I mean, everybody says says that as a joke, like, oh, main quest? What main quest? But like that is a reasonable way to play those. But like the main quest of Morrowind is actually really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll have to get back to that.
Sean writes, and this is my response, Final Fantasy VIII. I was into the mansion, and then I learned that I missed one of the cards for Triple Triad from the girl outside. I had one chance to get it, and I dropped the ball. I checked my saves, and I didn't have a file to go back to get that card. I used this to bring into question being a completionist.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, is your example specifically this or just Final Fantasy VIII in general?
Final Fantasy VIII. So I have beaten Final Fantasy VIII, but like this is the thing that happened with Final Fantasy games with me for a while, which was I would get to the final dungeon and then just peter out for one reason or another. And I think that Final Fantasy VIII had the longest like the longest break for that, where I like got there in the year 2000 and then didn't finish it until I was in college.
Whew.
Yeah, something
that
like
is that is one hell of a gap.
Yeah, so
when you started up again, I assume you started from a new save.
Yes, I did.
That would be insane.
Yeah. So yeah, Final Fantasy would be that one for me. Yeah, that sucks. I was about to say don't be a completionist, but I shouldn't tell people how to play games. And also in Final Fantasy VIII, like that card you got from Triple Triad could actually be turned into something valuable, probably. Something that would make it possible to beat the game if you were in a certain situation. So that is not a matter of being a completionist, I think.
See, and I feel like the only thing I ever hear about from Final Fantasy VIII is Triple Triad and Gunblade. So I feel like prioritizing Triple Triad probably makes sense.
It's a very important part of that game. Like, you can beat that game with your entire party at level one if you know how to use the Triple Triad and Junctioning system. Like, that is an eminently breakable game, and that is part of why I really, really love it. Yeah. Let's see, David, what does Jonathan say?
Jonathan says, funnily enough, based on the picture, Rogue Legacy. I had trouble defeating the Usurper. So when the big bad comes back to life, I said, nope, never went back.
You decided that you had seen the ending.
It is the ultimate fuck you. It's especially because, you know, if you're playing the game fairly normally, you're going to have to grind a little bit to get yourself to a place where you can actually beat the Usurper the first time. And so when he bounces back up with harder attacks and a fresh health bar, it's like, okay, well, you just spent, you know, 10 hours grinding. Get ready to spend 20 more. Nope.
Yep, I'm done. I've decided that this story ends with the inheritor to this mansion just calling it a loss and walking away.
Yeah.
Just burns it down for the insurance money.
Yep. Oh, geez. Ben, what does Jeremy
life
say?
Insurance on the Fountain of Youth.
Jeremy says, Resident Evil 2. Man, I don't know. I've completed my fair share of Resident Evil games, including Resident Evil 1 and Nemesis, but I've made it at least two or three failed attempts at finishing Resident Evil 2. Most likely it's because I never owned this game until I picked it up last year during a PSN sale. Compared to the games directly before and after it, the increased length and difficulty made it hard to complete during a rental. Need to buckle down and finish it, especially now that I can take it anywhere on my Vita.
No time like the present. Like, that is a great way to play that game and all three of the first Resident Evils. I don't have anything to add on top of that. Resident Evil 2 is a very good game with a strong ending.
I feel like it says something about your game's timeline when saying all three of the first Resident Evils is a coherent like explanation.
it was a very bad sentence. What I should have said was the first three Resident Evils, but yeah. let's see. Who was that? Sorry, that was you, David.
That was me.
That was Ben.
I can take credit for it.
Dennis, dang. what does Tim say?
Yeah. Tim says, I've had my fair share of RPG horror stories involving memory cards going through the washing machine. Oof. But one game I got all the way to the final dungeon on and just walked away from was due to its unassuming gameplay. Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories on the GBA had a hybrid card-based / action RPG style battle system that is all the fun of pre-picking your order of attacks for every battle and leaving no room for improvisation. It was the only game I brought on a childhood trip, so as soon as I got home, I banished it away to my closet. Be gone!
For as much as I don't give a shit about Kingdom Hearts, that game always looked interesting to me.
Yeah, card-based / action RPG sounds amazing. It sounds like the execution was way off.
Yeah.
It's really, really weird. It's a good game.
Huh. Noah writes, this may not actually be the closest, but I do want you to hit your quota for the episode. So, Dark Souls, but probably not for the reason that you think. The enemy design had been freaking me out for pretty much the whole playthrough. Frog rays and basilisks were major offenders. Nevertheless, I pushed through the early and mid-game and had myself a few Lord Souls soon enough. But then, while reading ahead in a walkthrough, I discovered that I was about to fight some mushrooms. Walking, sentient mushrooms. I put the game down then and there and haven't touched it since. See, I'm a proud sufferer of one of the weirdest fears out there. Mycophobia. Fear of mushrooms. I had woken up screaming from nightmares involving exactly what I was about to face. I have to run in terror, full speed, eyes closed, out of shroomy fields. On the right day, I find Super Mario Brothers to be mildly traumatic. To this day, I haven't actually looked at a picture of one of these fun guys because I'm not super interested in a fear-induced heart attack. Maybe when amnesia gets too tame, I'll give it another go. But until then, that's a big bowl of hot buttered nope. Thank you.
Yeah, fungus are creepy as hell. Like,
yeah,
how can you trust a creature that won't take a side on whether it's an animal or a plant?
Yeah, come on. Grow a spine. Or don't, because that sounds horrifying.
But pick one. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Pick one.
Yeah.
I don't think that I'm as afraid of funguses as Noah is, because I don't run away from fields of them, but like, I can understand that. Like, if fungus is around, or if there's molds or stuff like that, like, something's wrong. Something is rotten. I get it. Like,
it's the second major flavor of Lovecraft after tentacles.
Yeah, just read The Killer Out of Space, you know? Yeah.
Actually, I thought that was just sentient math.
No, that was the meteor that came down and caused all the plants to grow out of control.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was the happening.
No, that was a different thing. Let's see here. David, what does Stuart say?
Stuart says, Shadow Hearts 3 from the New World. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. Shadow Hearts 3 from the New World. I've gone to the final boss 3 times and never fought in it. This game is weird as heck, and I love it. There's a ninja who makes swords by sticking hilts on whatever's around, including cacti and street signs.
Okay, that sounds pretty good.
Just imagine what you could do with a Final Fantasy crossover and have Cactitrot swords.
Cactor swords. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yep, people that keep telling me I need to play that series.
That's sort of like Weird West type of setting?
Specifically from the New World is, but like the entire thing is pretty Lovecrafty, weird fiction stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. Ben, what does Sam say?
Sam says, I got within 2 or 3 main quests from the final dungeon in Daggerfall before it bugged out and became unwinnable. If you've ever played Daggerfall, you know that even getting that far is a feat within itself. There's a good reason for easily accessible console commands in modern Elder Scrolls / Fallout games.
Jeez. Everything has been an RPG. Everything. Mm-hmm. It may just be like that is the most notable investment of time, else. Yeah,
if it's a 2-hour game, the probability is much lower that you're going to quit right before the end of it. Instead of it's like a 100-hour game, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or that you're going to remember it.
Right. It's not going to sting. Not going to sting as much. Mm-hmm. Dennis, what does Rob say?
Rob says, Final Fantasy X, continuing the trend. I got all the way to the final dungeon, but never completed it because I left to go get everyone's ultimate equipment and got frustrated and gave up on dodging lightning strikes in the Thunder Plains for Lulus. Yeah, that area is some bullshit. I need to play through and beat it now that I've learned that I don't have to do literally everything in a game. Mm-hmm. It's only non-MMO Final Fantasy I haven't beaten. It's the only non-MMO Final Fantasy I haven't beaten since 4.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good accomplishment. Got to fill out that roster.
Yeah. You've just got one left.
I really love his avatar.
What is his avatar? I can't recognize it. It's a Krogan. It is an anime woman sleeping on top of a Krogan. Gwillem writes, Dark Souls. I reached Gwyn, figured out how he worked and how to beat him, then realized that I couldn't be bothered actually doing it. The same thing happened in 3, except that I didn't know I was at the last boss until I checked a walkthrough. In both cases, I just didn't see the point when I'd already exhausted the game's content. Starting over with a different character was far more enticing than watching a cryptic cutscene and a list of names.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the series where you miss the least by not beating the final boss.
Right.
Unless you count, like, New Game Plus.
Yeah. Like, you can't continue Game Plus if you don't open that up. But even outside of Dark Souls 2, New Game Plus isn't that enticing in a Souls game. For me, personally, a lot of people really love it. But, yeah. Let's see. David, what does Chris say?
Chris says, water temple in both Ocarina of Time and Twilight Princess. In Ocarina of Time, I was playing it on 3DS and found the puzzles tedious more than actually challenging. The frustration led me to give up. The same could be said for Twilight. I think I was still in wolf form and I never liked the wolf puzzles slash world to begin with. I just figured I'd seen enough and it wasn't worth the effort.
Yeah. How does the water dungeon and Twilight compare to Ocarina, Ben, our resident Twilight Princess person?
Yeah, I think they, like, in good humor or out of appreciation for Ocarina, they also tried to make the water one difficult, but I think they tried to tone down the frustration part of it.
Okay.
I know the one in Ocarina is definitely more frustrating, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's like any maze. Like, if you just follow the right wall, you'll eventually see everything.
Yeah.
It's just that it's a very confusing, ambiguously shaped maze. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Ben, what does Sid say?
Sid says, I got up to the very last gunfight in Black. I realized that I simply wasn't having any fun trying to kill the generic bullet sponge Spec Ops guys, nor did any part of the story stick with me enough to make me push past that. That's fair. I also played it well into the PS3's lifespan, so Black selling itself on having great graphics on PS2, meant just about nothing to me. Without stylization or any of the PS2 era's charming weirdness, it felt like Black was an export from the modern shooter's most oversaturated era. Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. Non-RPG answer.
There we go. Yay. And then we're like immediately back to RPG. Yeah. Man, I remember having a lot of fun with Black, but I do not know if its whole steez would last for a whole, you know, would hold up for an entire game.
I mean, I think the hook of that game was the first mission where you get to shoot down a building. It's like, oh, this is sweet.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yep. Dennis, what does Christopher... Yeah. Yep, there we go. What does Christopher say?
He says, Deus Ex Human Revolution. I really like the game, and I've gotten to that end base at the, well, end, but I've never beat it. And I've gotten there multiple times. I seem to get messed up by those hordes of, well, they act like zombies that can run. Probably always did something wrong with all my stealth build, plus failing at being a stealthy stealth guy. oh, well, I've seen the video of the end. It doesn't hurt too much. Maybe I'll do it on my next go through.
YouTube makes up for everything. Not everything, but it will cover up.
It forgives a lot of sins.
Yes, it does. Let's go one more time around, even though we are at time. Christopher says, Limbo. Here's another non-RPG.
There we go.
I finished the last puzzle, and then it crashed. No matter how many times I try, it just keeps crashing. But my friend told me it should have been it should have shown the ending cutscene.
Hmm.
Yeah. That sucks, because the ending to Limbo is actually really good.
And yeah, it's usually like a really stable game, I feel like.
Yeah. Let's see. David, what does Robert say?
Robert says, I got to that big ship battle in Bioshock Infinite and said, that's it. I can't take several more hours of this nonsense. I later find out that was the final gunfight. I regret nothing.
You're missing out on a great ending to a great game. But yeah, it's understandable, because that fight is monotonous and boring.
Yeah.
I still maintain, though, the game does not end till the DLCs.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were strong DLCs.
Agreed. I like those DLCs. Like, the game has to, it does end. Credits do roll. Yeah. I don't know. My feelings are very mixed.
But yeah, I think we can all agree that that's kind of a bullshit fight.
Yeah, no, it's very frustrating. Ben, what does John say?
John says Final Fantasy IX, probably. I got to at least the second to last boss. Didn't understand good saving habits and saved past the point of no return. Underleveled and without any healing items.
Oh no!
Whoa!
That shouldn't be able to happen. No, it really shouldn't be able to happen. That is bad design on their part. Blah.
Probably in the times before autosave, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Or I mean, if they're anything, if John's anything like me, in the time of I only have 15 slots on this memory card, and I do not have money, so I can't spend $25 on a new one, and it is neither my birthday nor Christmas, so my parents will not. So every game gets one slot. God damn it.
Yep.
It's one of those things where it's like, I wonder how much a save space takes up, because why couldn't you just have save space like checkered throughout the game? So like maybe like 4 or 5 over the course of the game. It doesn't seem like that would be too high of a cost.
There's a stock restart point.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, just restart at the beginning of disc 4 or something like that.
Save mm-hmm. people from themselves.
Yeah. And then Dennis, round us out here. Ocarina, or no, nope, I read the wrong thing. Thomas, what does Thomas say?
Thomas says, Ocarina of Time. I got the big bad, but my poor child's hands couldn't figure out what tool to use on each part. Or I got to the big bad, rather. Mm-hmm. I quickly became distracted by Sega Dreamcast and forgot about Dearest Zelda.
Now was the time for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you, everybody, for writing in. We appreciate that. Sorry we'd left you hanging for a week. But we really appreciate that. Let's do ours. Sorry, I already did mine. Final Fantasy VIII. It's funny that we have Final Fantasies 7 through 10 represented
yeah.
there. I don't think that was intentional, but it makes sense to me. David, how about you? What game did you leave hanging?
Sure. So mine was actually mentioned before. It was Dark Souls 3, and actually the exact same situation. I got what is apparently the last boss, or kind of the last... Basically the last boss. And yeah, I don't know. I think for me it was a combination of, yeah, it just being kind of long, and it's also kind of frustrating because you finally bust into the boss room and some guy insists that you know who he is and that like he's been waiting for you and stuff like that, and the story like never felt the need to mention him before.
Right.
And then you get killed, and it's just kind of bullshit.
Yeah. I am trying to remember the name of the boss that you're talking about, because that doesn't sound like the actual final boss of,
well,
of 3 doesn't talk.
Yeah. It's the Twin Prince fight, which
oh,
I guess
yeah, yeah.
isn't exactly.
It's the last Lord of Cinder or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, and the actual last boss is no great shakes either.
Yeah.
David, even have you tried playing the last boss with some bananas?
it's a reference to a news story from a few episodes ago where somebody rigged up a bunch of bananas to act as a controller and played and beat Dark Souls with it.
I think the same person also beat it with the DJ Hero DJ pad as well.
Yep. Let's see, Ben, how about you? What game did you leave hanging?
I have a couple. Ni No Kuni is an RPG that I quit halfway through because I got into a battle, couldn't go revert my save or anything, and I was way... I don't know if it was underleveled or not, but there's no way I could beat the person without grinding, and I was not in a situation where I could do that, so that was a bummer. Transistor is one where I really liked the game, but for some reason I just didn't finish it and didn't really care to go back to it, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's probably more on me than anything else. And then the other one is Darkest Dungeon. I invested a whole amount of time in that game. Still love the game. Tried the boss fight. Failed miserably. I was okay with that, but I wasn't going to go back and try and level up more people to try and do it again. So
yeah,
that's where I checked out at.
Oh, the expansion comes out for five days, so might be a good time to give it another go.
Yeah, it's another game where I'm totally fine with the canonical ending being you give up on the mansion.
Right. Burn it to the ground for insurance money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just like that game and Rogue Legacy have a little bit in common, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. And then Dennis, round us out.
Yeah, so obviously I got to Rogue Legacy, and that was the inspiration for the picture. The other one that I did, though, another RPG but not mentioned yet, was Parasite Eve. Got all the way to the final boss fight, and just, again, bad save hygiene. Stuck myself with no health and no ability to regain health, and just I'm not going to, you know, figure out how to beat it without taking a hit.
Yeah.
So watch the YouTube ending, and that was good enough for me.
Yeah, that is another one that I stalled out at the ending for a good long time when I first played it. Mm-hmm. Something about Square, man. Something about Square.
That's a game. That is one of the highest games on my like list of games I want to play, just because everything I hear about it does not make sense.
So you just want to like get in there and see what this whole thing is all about.
Yeah, because like what I've heard, let's see, it's a RPG, but maybe with shooty bits, and it's about, you know, like Andromeda strain like viruses or something, and that of course means you're going to fight a Tyrannosaurus.
Yes.
Yeah. No part it's of just that logic. Makes sense.
Yeah. It's what part of that doesn't line up to you?
You know, I mean, call me crazy, but
Well, thank everybody for writing in. If you want to participate in those, watch for the prompts to go up on Tuesday afternoons. Thanks to Dennis and Jella for putting those up, and for the people who sometimes suggest topics.
The Grind.
Now it is time for The Grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past 2 weeks, in this case. I'll get out of the way here and just say that I've been a very bad host of this show by not playing much of anything that I can even talk about on here, because I have been out of town for the majority of 2 weeks and only had my Vita, and also used that chance to, on my Vita, get ahead on Final Fantasy IV, which is a very good game. I like the PlayStation Portable Complete Collection more than I thought I would. I've gotten used to the art in a way that I didn't expect, but like, that is a game that, you know, we're going to talk to death later on, and also people know a bunch about it. It just has been very nice, kind of like gaming comfort food, because that is one of my favorite games of all time.
Nice.
Yeah.
I can't blame you for getting ahead. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not as big, man. The game is short, you guys. It is a short Final Fantasy game. I don't know if it's because I know everything about it. Not everything, but you know, that's either, I don't know if it's because I know what I'm doing with it, that I can just like breeze through everything. But like, I am getting ready to be the final boss right now, and you know, my play clock is just shy of 20 hours. So
yeah, that was the phase of Final Fantasy II, where not knowing where to go next or what to do next could stymie you for hours.
Yeah, or you know, not knowing what level you needed to be or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that has been mine. Ben, you said you've been playing a lot of stuff, so I want to hear what you got.
All right, let's do it. First up, I'll get Rocket League out of the way. I've been playing that. It's great. I've played some more PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. I played this with Dennis one time as well.
Ooh. Yeah.
Only played this a little bit, so I'm still not good at the game, but it's still not bad of a game. It seems like everyone's playing this, so I'm kind of playing it because of that. That makes sense.
I think we had an interesting discussion while we were playing about the right strategy, whether it's kind of try to stay well ahead of the circle, the radiation zone, whatever you want to call it, or whether you should try to kind of ride it in. And that was I've continued to think about it because I've continued to play it a lot, and I'm still not sure
which way is better.
The right answer. Yeah, just because.
Yeah.
I
think, an instant kill?
No, it's not an instant kill.
It slowly takes down your health.
Yeah, faster and faster the later in the game you are. But it puts you in the situation where if you're writing it in, you will more consistently get to the end game, but you will also more consistently be in a disadvantageous position for that end game.
Because people will have been like hunkered down.
Exactly. And so you are always running into the trap versus having any kind of chance to set the trap. Mm-hmm. And so that's like the thing that I'm trying to balance. Once you kind of figure out that loop of, okay, here's how I saw a great tweet that was posted to the Slack, which is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is a game all about carefully curating loot crates for other players. Because you've spent all this time picking up weapons, getting the right outfits and everything, and then someone shoots you from over a hill and you just drop your items for them.
Yeah, so you just want to be a considerate corpse.
Exactly.
So I wonder, can you ride the radiation in and then like periodically nip out into the radiation field to loot the people that didn't successfully do so?
David, I told you over text, this is the perfect game for you. It's very important to close doors behind you. Like, this is your game, man. it's all about, like, it is as much about planning your route through this like huge island and paying attention to, like, should we run along this ridge on one side or on the other side? Like, how long do I hide in this bush before making a dash for it? Even though I can't see anyone around me, there might be someone in that building. How do I, you know, like, it is, this is David Money Smith, the game, I would venture. So I'm going to highly recommend that you, and I'd be happy to take you around for a spin and we can do duo mode. But yeah, so it's like once you get that flow of, you know, kitting yourself out and you know, finding all the right pickups and weapons, once that you feel like you've nailed, then it feels less and less exciting to ride the barrier in, because you know how to get a good kit. Now you want to do it and be in an advantageous position when you finish doing it.
Yeah. I've had a conversation with one of my coworkers about this too, and his strategy is just to go in the most populated town every time and just try and get good at killing people there. And so, like, if you win that battle, then you have like 15 people's worth of stuff, and then you're like really well set up for the end game. So it seems like that's an alternative approach as well.
Your average match time, you know, in that center of the town strategy is, you know, 5 minutes, but the times when it does go the full length, you know, you're a god. Whereas the strategy of ride the circle in is your average match time is going to be 30 minutes or 20 minutes, but you know, you kind of stay pretty weak throughout the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on what you find.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, is part of the ride the wave gambit just hoping that you find people who are panicking and trying to get ahead of it while you kind of know what you're doing alongside of it? Like what's the other side of that aside from just kind of knowing where you're going to have to run?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel comfortable standing still enough to shoot while I'm in the radiation zone, and you don't feel comfortable enough. You feel like you've got to keep on running. So I'm going to win.
Okay.
Yeah, it's totally that. But Ben, your take is something I'd like to hear too.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I like about riding the wave is that you have a high probability that there's not going to be people behind you as long as you are like right on it. But
yeah,
or even if they are behind you, they're not going to stop the shoot because they need to get out of that area.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else?
I was gonna say outside of that, I played a game at a friend's house called Cluster Truck. Have you guys heard of this?
No, I haven't
heard of it. I know nothing about it.
There are Reddit posts of people playing this game. Basically, there is a path. You start off on the top of a truck. These are like kind of like delivery trucks. Think of those giant white 18-wheeler type things. Uh-huh. As you run on the back of it, you kind of get a speed boost. You can jump off of it. There's like a line of like in the early levels, there's just like a row of like 3x20 trucks, and they're all like riding next to one another, and you can like run and jump from sets of three to sets of three. So, and the goal is just to get to the end point. So all the trucks are typically driving towards the end point. So if you want, you can just stay on the truck that you're on and it'll probably make it to the end point. Like, it probably won't crash or anything like that. But the levels get more and more complicated as you go on. So eventually there's a bunch of like hills and up and down things. And so The interesting thing about this is, like, it's randomly seeded each time, so the trucks will act differently on successive playthroughs. So if you just stick on the first truck, it'll probably crash, but, you know, might ride it through or something like that. So basically what you do in practice is you're just jumping from truck to truck, and it starts getting very frantic, because when you get towards the end point, only a few trucks have made it to this point. So it's very much a platformer at that point, where you're jumping from one truck to one other truck. It sounds like a weird game, but it's a lot of fun. You definitely get in the zone playing this type of game.
I think it sounds like a weird game, and it's a lot of fun, not but.
Yeah. There's also this one of the weirder mechanics. The way it works is, as long as you are next to a truck, as long as you're holding the jump button, you will jump off of that truck. And so there's this weird, like, trajectory strategy sort of thing, where if you just land on top of it and run off of it, you kind of have a short, shallow, but far jump, or going, you know, like, very horizontally. But if you jump towards the back of a truck and specifically aim towards, like, the back end, like the wheels part, and you just hold down the jump button, you will launch off of it and go very high in the air. And so you can kind of see a full range of, like, the ground below you and where the trucks are and, like, which one you need to jump to next. And you kind of have more, like, planning time.
So are you literally getting launched off of its spinning wheel, or how does that even work?
No, that's just, like, fun physics that was programmed into it. So even like the sides of the truck, as long as you're holding the jump button, you will jump back up. So, like, there's this frantic moment when you're jumping in the air and you're going to get close to a truck. You just hold down the jump button so that if you get near it, you will go back up to the top of the truck, or, like, you know, get some more airtime and not die. But yeah, I don't know. It's a great game.
Just want to check in with everybody. The word truck means nothing to me now.
you said truck good. That many times.
Yep, I've gotten numb to truck.
Yeah. But it's great. It's a small bite-sized game. It's a lot of fun, though. It's a good party game. Just to watch somebody play it and freak out while they play it. But So shout out, thank you to Jamie and Alex for letting me play that. Next one I got on the list, I finished Assassin's Creed 4. It's still, like, the mechanics of the game are really fun, but the narrative is just, like, it could not be less interesting. Like, like, they put so many characters in the story, but they give you no reason to care about any of them. And so, like, some will randomly die, but it's like, okay, no. You had no character development to earn that death. And they try and have, like, an emotional payoff for the main character at the end of the game, but I didn't really land well for me, at least. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's still a really fun game. Like, again, it's like pirate Grand Theft Auto. So it's like, that's great. Like, they just, I don't know. I think maybe it's a product of the fact that at that point in time, they were still trying to put out a game every year. And so, I don't know. Maybe you just can't make cohesive, and I don't know. So,
yeah,
it was a very bittersweet ending. One thing that I'm kind of bummed out about, I texted you guys this. I found a ghost ship finally. So
right after you complained about not finding ghost ships,
they've covered all the pirate tropes. So good on them for that.
Yeah.
But one of the problems, so they have four different, like, boss battles, essentially, in the four corners of the map, which is a cool idea. I really like that. The one beef I have with it is all of them are the same level, so there's no, like, progression. So even though the rest of the map kind of has this progression where it's like, okay, if you go north, that's, like, the easier ships. If you go south, these are the harder ships. That doesn't follow through with the, like, these legendary ships, like the boss battle. And so the kind of the bummer of it is, like, once you're good enough to beat one of them, you can beat all of them. And so it's really not that interesting. There's not, like, a progression or anything. That was the only thing that I was kind of bummed out about it. I am not at the level to beat any of those ships yet. I don't know if I'm going to grind it out to do that or not, just because there's not really much else in the game for me to do outside of completing map quests sorts of things. The gameplay is really excellent. You can make an amazing game out of that if you wanted to. there's definitely cool parts when you're playing it, but yeah, it kind of fell flat narrative wise, I think.
Yeah, but the things you do are cool. The reasons you do them are not.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So does anyone have any questions about that 3 or 4 year old game?
No, I feel like you've given a pretty good overview of it. You know, since you started playing it, like, I don't know, like, I'm halfway curious, because it's been forever since I've played an Assassin's Creed game, right?
Mm-hmm. What would it take to get you to play another Assassin's Creed game?
I mean, 4 would be the one I would play.
Yeah, well, for Ben.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, yeah. I really just don't want to play another Assassin's Creed game. Like, I mean, this one was good because it was hardly an Assassin's Creed game, you know? Like, it was like a pirate game. It just, I don't know. They just made good use of the engine that was already built in the Assassin's Creed games, where it's like, you happen to be killing people and jumping off, you know, like, buildings to kill people, but that wasn't, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would have a hard time going back to it. I think we talked about the one story where they're possibly going to have an Egyptian theme for the next one.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. It's a bike revving in the background. I don't know if you guys heard that.
I thought it was a dog barking.
So I don't know what it would take for me to go back to one. It would have to be like a similar draw where it's as this one, where it's a good game on its own, but it just happens to be an assassin in the Assassin's Creed series. But I mean, it is promising, I guess, that they're taking more time with each of the games, so they'll have more time and focus to not just churn them out. But
yeah, and we will see what their next move is. Like, we will have more information in literally like 2 days.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
yeah.
All right, so moving on, I got two more. Jeez. I know. I started playing the game Rime that came out last week. That's the indie game where it's kind of like, it looks like a cross between Shadow of the Colossus and The Witness, like the Witness style thing.
Yeah.
But you're a person alone on the island, like a little kid. It's an interesting game. It's supposed to be a puzzle game. It's not bad. I think the difficulty I have playing with it is I keep comparing it to Shadow of the Colossus and The Witness, and that's not good for any game to have. But the art style is really cool. The puzzles are kind of just okay. It's a little bit clunky at parts, or like some of the puzzle elements are a little bit, I guess, like, I don't know how to call them, like hokey, I guess, or they seem forced. But again, a lot of this opinion that I have is because I'm very much expecting a game like The Witness, and it's totally not that, and I shouldn't have that expectation.
Yeah, nothing will rise up to that.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, it still has a really cool art style. I'm probably going to play it out because, I mean, the puzzles aren't bad. So they do. There's a couple of unique mechanics they have with some of the puzzles that I do like. So I'm going to keep playing it through. It's not bad, but I don't know if it's worth. Well, I think that game's $30 right now. So I don't know. It might be worth it. It might not. Depends how the rest of the game shakes out.
Yeah. I was shocked at the reviews it got, that it has not landed well, given how positive everybody seemed to be in the pre-release.
Yeah. It had a lot of hype around it. Yeah. So I'll probably report back in on that game later. The last game that I have is a weird one. I picked up Friday the 13th. So I've this was another game that there's a lot of hype around and a lot of people were kind of disappointed with. I actually thought this one kind of landed better. Before I bought it, I watched a lot of people play it on Twitch to kind of know what I was getting into. I like this game. I think it has a lot of potential. The only thing that's been a barrier is like the matchmaking kind of system of it. I think if you have like 7 friends who have this game, it would be perfect. You know, it's a really fun multiplayer game. So the premise of it is multiplayer only. And the premise is you have 7 campers and you have one person playing as Jason. And the 7 campers have like 3 or 4 ways that they can escape where they're at. And so they're trying to do any of those and just escape before Jason kills them. Jason's objective is to just kill all the campers.
Right.
As you do. So,
yeah, as Jason do. But it's like it's really nice asynchronous gameplay. So the gameplay for the campers is surprisingly similar to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, where you're going from cabin to cabin and you're looting places to try and get a bunch of supplies together, and you're also kind of like fortifying the cabin that you're in. So like one of the mechanics is Jason can go through doors, but he can't go through windows, whereas campers can go through windows.
Mm-hmm. But not doors. So
they can't. It depends
all
on
squares
the
are a circle. All campers are.
So the campers, they can go through the doors, but typically the smarter play is if you can fortify the doors, so it takes longer for Jason to swing through it with his axe. Mm-hmm. So typically for exploring a cabin, the play is to grab as many supplies as you are and then barricade each of the doors, so that if you happen to be back in that cabin, it'll be fortified. Or if the next person has to jump in there to try and evade Jason, then it's fortified. In addition, each of the cabins have hiding spaces, like under beds or in closets, things like that, where you can hide. But the thing is so like Jason has like four different kind of like special powers that he can use to try and track down where the campers are and try and kill them. One of them is like a sense sort of thing where it'll highlight a building in red if there's a camper inside of it.
Oh, wow.
So he doesn't know where inside of it they might be, but he knows they're inside of it. So there's this like kind of stalking thing where he might have to go procedurally from bed to bed and like destroy them with his axe to figure out if there's a person in it or not.
Right.
And then what else? The items that the campers pick up, there's a lot of really cool interactions. So you start with no map. But if you find a map of the campgrounds, you get a map for the game.
Okay.
And so is the campgrounds persistent every single time, or is it randomly generated? In other words, if you learn it in one game, will it be the same in the other?
So, you know, I've played this game and I can't tell whether or not there's a single map or if there's like three or four different maps. So I
don't know if that means it's designed well or horribly.
I don't know either. I don't know. And I've seen this played a bunch of times too, but I mean, it all kind of looks like forest, so it's kind of hard to tell if one's the exact same location. There's sometimes key locations, like there's a boathouse, there's a big lodge area that's like a pretty defendable place, or it's a place that's pretty hard to find you if you're hiding there and Jason comes in. And then there's like a graveyard in the corner, and then there's like a main road that has two exits. The one thing I haven't talked about is the ways that the campers can get out. So the map will give you a map of the area so that you can see where everything is. There's also, you can pick up a walkie-talkie, and then that literally allows you to talk to the other campers through the game. So like that's how like game talking works. Yeah. So at the beginning, you're just by yourself, you can't hear anything, but as soon as you pick up the walkie-talkie, you can start coordinating with the other campers and be like, okay, I need to do this. I have these items, so we can do this or something like that. So that's fun. You can also pick up weapons. There's a lot of makeshift weapons. You can only have one at a time, but there's like a flare gun that you can use that'll stun Jason. There's a pan. There's a machete for some reason. There's bats, things like that. There's fire pokers near the fireplaces, so things like that. There's also, you can pick up a switchblade, which is if Jason grabs you or grapples you, you can stab him in the neck to break free and get out. So it's kind of
can
like
can you ever actually kill Jason?
There, funny you should mention that. There is a very difficult way, but a way that you can kill Jason. You have to do like three or four things in order to do it. So I guess I'll explain how to do it now. There's one character in particular. His name's Tommy Jarvis, I think, who's a character from the movies. He's a character that you can possibly play as in the game. The way that you get him is there's a radio randomly placed somewhere in one of the cabins. If you use the radio to call for help, a person who dies has the chance to come back as Tommy Jarvis. He's like a character who has kind of like buff stats where he can like run faster, and he also comes with a shotgun, which he can use to shoot Jason and knock him down and stun him for a while. So he's like a pretty good character. And it also is nice that like even if you die, you have a chance to come back in it. So that's like a nice mechanic as well. So the way to kill Jason is you need a female camper to find where Jason's mom is, who's randomly in one of the cabins, I believe.
So this is really, really similar to the NES game.
Maybe. I have not played that one.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm listening to this and like that, like that you're describing the, you know.
To a T.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to kill Jason, you need a female person to go to where the mom's dead body is, steal her sweater. And then she gains the ability where, if she does this, by the way, if she goes to where the mom is, Jason will get a message or, like from his mother talking to him, like, they're trying to hurt me or whatever. So he knows one of the campers is there. So it's a risky thing to do. But then if the camper has the sweater and wears it, that person then has the ability to confuse Jason. So if Jason comes to try and kill them, she can start talking to him as if she's her mom. He gets dazed. And then the other thing, so you need to do that. But in addition to that, you need somebody to get a machete swinging at Jason to knock off his mask his face. I know. To knock off his face mask so that his face is exposed. So once his face is exposed, you need the woman with the sweater to talk to him so he's stunned, and then you need Tommy Jarvis to swing a machete at him, and that'll kill him, and then the campers will win. So that's one way you can do it. That's definitely the most difficult way to do it. Besides that very convoluted way to do it, there's four different ways to escape the island. There's two different cars you can repair. By putting gasoline, a battery, and getting the car keys. So like three different items you need to find in the cabins. If you can get all three of those, you can repair a car and get in it to start to try and drive off the map. As soon as you do that, though, Jason knows that you're in a car. So one of Jason's ability is he can warp from any spot to any other spot on the map. It has a cooldown, but like if you can you can look on the map and you can see a car moving, so Jason can just spawn right in front of it, and then you have to learn the jukes in this game to learn how to drive around Jason, because you can't run him over and he will mess up your car. Like if you park right in front of him, he will hit your car and it'll be dead, and then you have to like get out of the car and run away from him as quickly as possible, or you'll die. What else? So there's two different cars that you can use to escape. One's a two-seater and one's a four-seater. There's a boat you can repair if you get a propeller and I think gasoline, and that's like another way, but that's also super risky, so you're going out on the lake to do that. Okay. If Jason notices you're in the lake, though, he can spawn to where you are, and he has like a huge advantage in water where he can like knock you out of your boat, and then he can like grab you and drown you like really easily, so that's also like a risky way to do it. And then the last way to escape is you can repair and use a phone to call the police, and then the police will show up in like 5 minutes, and that they'll spawn at one of the exits randomly, and then you can escape that exit. So before the exits, you can only escape with a car or if the police are there. You can't escape them like normally. Okay. So
because that's how roads work, you know.
Yeah, you
the
know,
toll booth
foggy.
Is down. No,
you're already scared. Yeah.
Yeah.
There could be someone dangerous down that road, so they don't want to go there. They're just going to hang out with Jason.
what happens if you try is that literally they're like a gate closed, or
I think it's just like an invisible wall, so you just don't go anywhere. But yeah, so those are like the options that people have, and so a lot of the game is like trying to go through cabins as quickly as possible, find these items, and like coordinate with other people to try and escape. Some nice features is like when you're filling up the gas or when you're putting in a battery for the car, there's like this mini game that you play to do it where you have to like press the mouse button at the right time during certain intervals. And depending upon the camper's like intelligence, it might be a really easy mini game or it might be a really difficult mini game. If you mess up, it messages Jason, so he knows where you are. And so like, so there's, it's very risky, you know, if you're a smart person, like there's like, you know, they have the generic types. It's very much like Until Dawn, where there's like the smart person, there's the jock, there's that sort of thing. A lot of the archetypes will get unlocked too, as you play the game more, there's like a level progression. So if you play as the smart person, you can like fill up the car, no problem. And it's not a huge deal, but I don't know. It's a really fun game. I feel like it's really well thought out and well designed. Problem is like each game is like 20 minutes, so it's pretty long. So like a lot of it is like you just watching other people playing it, which is kind of a bummer. Like they should give you the option to opt out if you've already died.
Right. Or you can bounce to the lobby.
Yeah, exactly.
That's ill-advised.
Yeah, and they withhold experience from you too if you don't. Like you can't, if you quit out, you don't get any experience from
the
match.
Why?
Yeah. So that's one of the problems with the game. But if you play in a party situation, like that's kind of mitigated, where it's like it would be fun to kind of watch people that you know play still, even if you're not in the game. And I'm pretty sure you still get experience for playing like private matches as well, so that's nice. The other thing about the game is the price for it is a little bit steep right now. It's like $40 for the game right now.
Yeah.
Not necessarily worth $40 for a game unless you're like you're really into it and you have a bunch of friends who already have it. I would say it's like probably like a $15 to $20 game. And again, contingent upon you also having friends who play the game as well.
That's the thing, right? Like for me personally, $40, whatever. But like to encourage other people like to pick it up and play it, that's really prohibitive.
So add it to your wish list. Wait for the next Steam sale. and maybe pick it up then if it's cheap enough, I would say.
Yeah.
And then message me about it so that we can play it.
Yeah. But, like, this sounds like an amazing thing to play, like, in the community, like a pickup game kind of thing. But, like, yeah, I'm not crazy about the $40 investment. You know, spread across the, you know, the 8 seats that, you know, that need to be filled.
Thankfully, it has a lot of mixed reviews right now, so hopefully it'll go on sale sooner than later.
So. Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, though, I do enjoy it. I think it's a really well-designed game, and I think it's definitely fun. There's a lot of them. One of the things that they put a lot of development time into is there's a lot of death animations for Jason to kill you. Like, I don't think I talked about Jason's abilities too much. He has 4 different abilities. They all have different cooldown times. So at the start of the game, he only has the ability where he can teleport from one space to another. And that has like maybe a 30-second cooldown time, 20 or 30-second cooldown time. So he's kind of like just randomly walking anywhere. He can see people making sound. So if someone's like sprinting, he can see that, like the sound bubbles or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And so like he can kind of guess where to warp to. But as kind of like a counter to that, some of the cabins will have like radios that you can turn on as like a distraction for him.
Nice. And
yeah, right? It's great. Great design. So that's cool. But then eventually, like more of his abilities will unlock. One of them is the sense one that I talked about before, where he can either see silhouettes of the people if they're like running around in the forest, or he can see highlighted buildings if they're in that. It's a random chance for him to see you. So depending upon what perks you have equipped and depending upon your character's like stats, he might miss you even if you're like right in front of him.
Right.
And that's another thing that's cool too, is they have a really awesome leveling up system where you kind of like roll for perks and they're randomly generated perks. So say there's a given perk where it's like you deal more damage as Tommy Jarvis. There's always a trade-off to it. Like you deal less damage if you're a camper then.
Right.
And the buff stats and the penalty stats are randomly generated. So sometimes the penalty stats is 0. Like you have no disadvantage. So there's this really cool upgrade system where every match you complete, you get a certain number of like coins or XP, and then you can use that to get random perks. And then you can use those on your different campers. So you can kind of use the perks to like increase your character's stealth at the cost of something else, perhaps.
Yeah.
The other Jason perks that he has is he has an ability to kind of go in this mode where the camera moves very fast, but he can like follow somebody. And it's a way for him to gain ground and get right behind somebody. and it's like the idea is once he's behind you or once he's within arm shot of you, he'll have a weapon that he can swing at you, which is either like a spear or a hatchet or a machete, depending upon what movie. There's different Jasons from the different movies that he's in.
Right.
The other thing he can do is he can just straight up grab you. So if you like right click, he grabs a person if they're within arm shot of him. And if he does that, he like holds them in the air. And if they have a mini game where they have to like frantically press the E button to try and escape his grasp.
Yeah.
If they have a switchblade, they get out for free. They can just stab him real quick and run away and he gets stunned. If they do the E game quickly enough, depending upon, I think, what their strength is and like their health and stuff like that, they can break free and run away. But otherwise, it'll show a pretty grisly death animation from Jason, and then there's a lot of like case sensitive death animations where it's like if he's near a fireplace, there's a very brutal death animation. If they're like in a tent or something like that, there's another brutal death animation. So there's a lot of gore in it. It's like a Tomb Raider game, pretty much. But
I just watched him gouge somebody's eyes out. I also saw him like curb stomp somebody on a pile of rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those are unlockables too. So you expend experience to unlock those death animations.
You are making such a good sell on this.
it's a really well designed game and it's a lot of fun, but that there's a lot of barriers for you having that fun though.
Right.
So is there like a random trip mechanic? Because it seems like that's the only way anyone like ever dies from these people in the movies.
What is that? A random trip mechanic?
Yeah, in the movies, that's always how you die, is you're running away and you trip on nothing and then, like, the slowly moving.
No joke. That is a stat in the game. Each of the players have a trip stat, and so some of the perks will, like, that's increase, awesome. Like, your speed or something, but then it increases the chance that they'll trip when you're running. You don't, like, fall over or anything, but it does slow you down. Like, you just stumble a little bit. And depending upon the Jason, like the Jason also has different perks that he can roll as, and it depends on what film it's from. So like the first one's just the vanilla Jason with the machete sort of thing from the lake or whatever. And like, so some of the Jasons like never run, they can only walk, but they have to use their like two teleport abilities to try and get closer or close the distance in. Some Jasons like have better grip than others. So they, once they do that, that's really good. There's also an ability they have, I forgot to mention, they can lay bear traps, you know, because there's bear traps everywhere for some reason. People can do this as well. The campers, they can pick up bear traps if they're like, sometimes they're in cabins for some reason. But they can lay those in front of the doors because that's specifically a trap for Jason. So even if he knocks down the door, he'll get trapped on the bear trap when he tries to come in. and then Jason also has the ability where he has like these throwing knives that he can throw at people, which will typically slow them down, especially if he hits them in the legs. So that's a way that he can close the distance as well. But
this sounds great.
It's fun game. So like in a year, let's play this game together, guys.
Yeah.
You guys, yeah.
I don't know. It might sounds not be like a year. Plan.
As soon as the maybe the Christmas Steam sale or something like that.
Yeah. Awesome.
At the very least, if you don't want to buy the game, it's definitely fun to watch people play this on Twitch. Mm-hmm. So that's usually enjoyable too, to get that sort of same sort of itch. But
yeah, the Twitch itch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's great. You've been busy.
Yep. Although, give me 2 weeks. Yeah. I'll give you 6 games. So.
Great. Let's see. David, how about you? What you got?
Sure. I actually haven't been playing a whole lot either. Either do you, not either do Ben. I got a little bit farther in Hollow Knight, but I hit a major wall. I got to the part with the, I guess I beat the boss with the needle.
You beat Hornet. No.
Yeah. And then got to the part with the jellyfish things.
Oh yeah, fungal caverns. That's a big difficulty spike.
Yeah. So I definitely saw it. Big difficulty spike, and then the other thing is actually, as far as I can tell, when you first get to Fungal Caverns, you can't actually do much there. So kind of got frustrated because I, spent a lot of time figuring out and like lost a lot of geo in the area, only to find out that there was just nothing you can do there.
Yeah, geo is the equivalent of like currency and souls.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that was a little frustrating. I mean, I'll probably get back to it, but yeah, that was kind of a thing.
Yeah. Something you should know about that. So what seems to be the main boss of that area is optional. So if you get down to the bottom and you fight all the mantises there, the manti or whatever, like you can do it. It's a very difficult fight, and I was not able to beat them until I came back later with a lot of my stuff upgraded. Better trying to get to the area after that, which is the City of Tears. Beating the Mantis Lords just gets you a more direct way into an area that you are not ready for yet.
Okay. Do you have to actually go through the Mantis?
No.
Is City of Tears a happy place?
No. Oh. nothing in this game is very happy.
Not Tears of Joy, I guess.
Yeah. I forget exactly how they connect, but like at this point, if you have explored the Fungal Waste a lot, there is no shame in looking up where you need to go to get to the City of Tears. It's like off to the it's off to the right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Sweet. Yeah, I'm going to need to figure out some place to do some farming because there's a bunch of items that are just super expensive.
Yeah.
I guess there's a firefly or something you can get to like actually give you some light in some of the areas.
Right. That's not strictly necessary until a lot later.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good to know. Yeah. So, still a cool game. Just, a little bit, like you said, a little bit of a difficulty spike. Yeah. Other than that, I actually installed Skyrim and I'm giving it another try.
Don't do it! Yeah, you have so much to live for!
So, kind of funny way to get to it, I've been working on, like, some Celtic Knights Celtic art type stuff, and that's what kind of like got me into the mood for it, because you know that's like their go-to aesthetic for that entire game. So started a new character, although I do still have my old one in a Steam save, and right now I'm just running around like I don't know, harvesting fireflies and picking plants and stuff like that. You know, all things you would expect from the, you know, the chosen one.
Of course.
Ben, you played this one fairly complete, right?
This is one of the few games that I've hate played the entire way through.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So what is worth leveling up?
Archery, kill dragons with it.
Yeah, archery, if you level that up, you essentially get VATS.
And you're like stealth, yeah. So, yeah, nice. I found that to be pretty easy. I mean, you can do whatever you want. I just think it would be a lot harder to do like the sword shield combo. It's hard to stealthily do that, at least.
Makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I could see like backstabbing a dragon being challenging.
Yeah, and you can still, like, I mean, because you can level up everything in this game, right? And I think there's, like, there might be a synergy between the archery and, like, backstabbing. I know there's one path that gives you, like, 15x damage on backstabs with daggers, but I forget which one it is. I think it's the archery one for some reason, but maybe it's the stealth one. So
okay.
So yeah, stealth and archery would probably be a good way to go.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm sort of in like the part right now where I'm very conflicted, because I kind of want to like level up, do some of the crafting stuff, some of the smithing stuff, but on the other hand, anything I can craft, I could probably just steal. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the main exploit in this game, because I know there's a bunch of exploits in Marland where you can just like level everything up from the get-go, but in this one, I think the one is like the daggers exploit with the forges, where you like make a bunch of daggers over and over, and it levels up your forge skill like really quickly, mm-hmm. and then you can use that to forge like other things that might be useful.
Besides daggers. Yeah, and my understanding is you can also, there's a spell that will like transmute metals to like gold, and you can use that to build like a lot of really I guess high sell value items or something.
Mm-hmm. yeah
so I don't know, I'm like I said, I'm going to give it another shot, although I feel like I'm spending the entire time so far being like, this would be great, but would be even better if it was Fallout.
There's probably a mod for that.
Where are the lasers?
Well, even just, honestly, I'm thinking more just, like, the VAT system. Like, I don't mean this to be, like, you know, snarky or critical, especially for people that do enjoy it, but I feel like the combat itself, like, the actual gameplay of the combat isn't that much fun. And I kind of feel like it would almost be better if, you know, would just go full on VATS, because I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't feel like that's why people come to the game. It's more for the just being able to dick around and go wherever you want.
Yeah, like really immersive world. But
yeah,
I totally agree. I think this is probably similar to me comparing Rhyme to the Witness, where it's like, it would be better if it had that, but it's kind of unfair to put that into a bunch of games, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
This would be better if I was just playing that other game instead.
Yeah.
But this game does have better accents, though, so it's definitely got that.
This date would be better if you were Linda.
Huh. Although the accents would be better if they took them from what's the mage game with the friendly fire?
Magicka?
Wow. Yes, thank you. The accents okay. would be better if they took them from Magicka.
Good pull.
I'm really sad. I downloaded Magicka or Magicka 2, whichever one was free through PlayStation Plus, and it just crashed every time I tried to open it. And like deleted it, re-downloaded it, and it just would not work on my machine.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I feel like on PlayStation you couldn't do one of my favorite jokes from the game, which is the whole, like, at the very beginning of the game where they throw you into the deep end, they tell you, and remember, the safe word is banana, and if you type in banana, you'll skip straight out of that section.
That's pretty funny. Did you have anything else that you were playing, David?
I mean, kind of like Ben with Rocket League, I've continued to be playing Warframe. I can't think of anything particularly noteworthy from it, but yeah, that's just kind of a continuation.
That's fine. Yeah. And Dennis, conclude the show by telling us what you have been playing.
Yeah, well, you heard about Plunk Bat.
What?
So PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is also called Plunk Bat.
Okay.
Which is delightful.
Okay, yeah, they're all right. Yeah. Okay. I gotcha.
I've started writing down the lesson that I learn every time I die. And it's amazing how consistently I die and go, okay, I know exactly what I did wrong there. And it's also amazing the variety of different ways that I am doing things wrong and dying.
Yeah.
And so it's a really nice quality to have in a game where, you know, the question that I keep on asking myself is, why is it fun to spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, building the same kit of weapons, not seeing another player, and then suddenly die to sniper fire from a hill that you just, you know, you don't even see the person that's shooting at you? Like, why am I enjoying this? And I think it is that aspect of when you die, you know exactly what you did wrong. Or if you think about it a little bit, you can, you know exactly what you could have done better. And then going back in and applying that. So that is, that's been a lot of fun. I'm thinking at some point it might make for good Twitter fodder. Just, you know, real Plunk Bat lessons or whatever.
Yeah.
but it's good to be on that learning curve with a game where you feel like you are steadily progressing and getting better every time you play around. So yeah, that's that. Other than that, I don't think I have too much to say beyond what Ben and I talked about. I finished Uncharted 4.
Okay.
Which is a very solid game. I thought I would be more excited to jump into the multiplayer than I was. As is, I finished it, I was like, oh, okay, good. I'm done with this.
Which did you jump into the multiplayer at all?
No.
Oh.
No. I just haven't touched it. I don't know why, like, Uncharted 3's was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it just got.
And you played the shit out of Last of Us multiplayer.
I did. Yep. Yeah. And I mean, Last of Us is probably my favorite multiplayer of any game.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think I've got more than enough multiplayer content to keep me busy for now.
Yeah.
See PlayerUnknown, see Heroes of the Storm, see Overwatch, see literally anything. So,
yeah. So how was the pacing of like the last half of the game, you know, which I imagine is what you covered since we spoke last.
Yeah. The end snuck up on me. And they still did the traditional, like, Naughty Dog climactic one-on-one fist/sword fight at the end of the game. Like, it always seems to come down to that big one-on-one event.
That was one problem I had with the ending, is they introduce a new gameplay mechanic for the last boss fight that is not intuitive necessarily.
Yep. Yeah.
That didn't seem like a good idea.
It turns it into a button-pushing minigame rather than any of the fighting techniques that you've learned throughout. This is the weird thing to say, like, if I think back on the couple of levels leading up to that, it didn't feel like there was really a combat final exam.
Hmm.
And it didn't even really feel like there was a platforming final exam. Like, leading up to that final fight, it didn't feel like I was doing anything that was that out of the ordinary with the rest of the platforming and combat in the game. And yes, like, it was against more difficult enemies, and there was a section where there was a guy with a rocket launcher that really kind of had my number. But it didn't feel like it was testing all the skills that I'd learned up to that point. It felt more like, hey, this is a really heavy wave of enemies, and you're just going to kind of have to brute force this until you get through it.
So to that point,
which is, What's
to
that
point? Oh, do you think that it's possible that the like mechanics didn't have a lot of depth to it, so there wasn't like a lot to test, or do you think it was just a misstep in the game design of it?
You tell me. Beyond the sliding and grappling hook, what new did they add to the game?
Nah, I don't think anything.
Even like weapon wise, there weren't even really new weapons, and I think you didn't even really find like RPGs were a much bigger factor in the previous games than they were in this game, where they only showed up at the very end. So it almost feels like they took stuff out. I like the combat theaters better in Uncharted 4 than any other game. It feels like they are more open and more more accommodating of improvisation, if that makes sense. And that's what makes the Uncharted games really fun. But a couple of those really difficult encounters towards the end felt like even though they were in a more open, you know, theater for the combat, you were kind of forced down a particular route because anything else was just, you know, too exposed or what have you. So maybe they ran out of resources towards the end of the game or time to design stuff the way they would want. I don't know. But I don't want to sound like that's, threw me off the experience of the game, because overall it was a very high level of quality and a ton of fun to play. I have talked ad nauseum about the story beats in relation to 3. So I won't come back to that except to say it stays kind of the same, where, you know, they kind of focus on the relationship between Nathan and his brother. That's delivered well. There are elements of Nathan and Elena, but it felt like they pulled some punches, maybe for want of, hey, we've gone there already. And I would have liked to see that developed a little more.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, a solid game.
Nice.
And then final, this is just a tiny little one, but I did some travel in the previous weeks. And just to have something to do on the plane, I downloaded a little iPhone game called Balls versus Blocks. And it's actually... Yeah. It's not what it sounds. It's actually a really fun game. So you just start out, it's like the falling simulator kind of game where you are only it's rising. So you're flying along up the screen with a chain of balls. So it's like a little snake, and you can pick up little dots to make yourself longer. But then every once in a while, there are these kind of gates of blocks, and each block has a number. And you have to kind of cash in that many balls to get past the gate. So if it's 7 and you know, you're a string of 14, you'll pop, 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 pop down to 7 and then the gate will disappear and you can go through.
Right.
And so it's all about managing the decision making of which gate to, you know, feint or to kind of hit while still kind of grabbing as many things to extend your snake chain as possible. And there's kind of very quickly you get into places where you're kind of forced into lanes or forced to make split second decisions on which overall route to go, which will then kind of force you into better or worse gates. So really fun, just little, you know, time waster game if you've got some time to kill. The interesting thing, though, was so I downloaded this right before I got on the plane, and then I noticed there was a little icon that said, like, hey, you've got the free-to-play version. Click here if you want to get rid of the ads. And on the plane, I was like, what are these ads? There's no ads in this game. Do I have the full version? Like, what's going on? And then, of course, once I got off the plane and
it could load them.
Wi-Fi again, it loaded them. So that's just my little tip is, like, if I ever want to play this game, I just flip over to airplane mode real quick and don't have to watch a single ad.
Yeah. That way these developers don't get any money.
Well, you know, that is my goal with this. But I'm curious as to how many games that works with where you just put it in airplane mode and don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. Man, I'm looking at this. This kind of looks like a nightmare to me. I'm being honest. I haven't played it, so it's hard for me to say, but like having the numbers written out as opposed to being represented by like domino dots or something like that.
Colors help you process it.
Okay. So
you want to go for blue blocks in general.
Yeah. I guess I would, in my head, I would rather it be represented by dots because then I can subitize faster than I can say, okay, that's a 50. I need to avoid that. And that's an 18 over there. That's better. You know, like I just processing and making a quick decision based on that. Man, I sound like such a lame brain.
No, I'm curious though, because I wonder, would it still be easy for you? Because there are sections where you have to go, okay, is 15 better than 8 plus 6? decide now.
Right.
And just because based on it, it's like I can go through this one block here or I can go through this block over here, but that gates me into having to go through this third block.
Right.
And I wonder if with the domino dots, if that math would be harder to do than with the numbers written out.
Yeah.
It definitely gets frantic once your speed gets up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might try this just to see if my suspicion about that interface is correct.
Sure. Yeah. Let me know what you think.
Yeah.
That's probably there's two types of people in this world: those who like domino dots and those who like numbers written out.
Yeah.
It seems plausible.
It does. The math checks out. And is that all? Is that all, Dennis?
That's everything for me.
Okie doke. Well, let us. It sounds like a show to me. Do you want to button it up?
Let us button.
Thanks so much, everybody, for listening to this episode of The Level. Next episode is going to be 200. Cannot believe it. So we will check in with that. Come join us. It is weird that the show has been around that long, but it has. Yeah. But you know, the usual stuff you can do. We have some changes coming to the Patreon that are going to affect things like Slack membership and also bonus episodes and things. So watch for that to come out. I'm trying to figure out the best way to announce that. We should have something for you pretty soon, though. Yeah. Also, like us on Facebook and tell your friends if you can. You know, the usual stuff. I don't want to belabor this. Did I forget anything?
I think that's good.
Okay. Well, I have been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia at DFuria on Twitter.
I've been David Meismith at Meismith777 on Twitter.
Ben Merkel at Merkelizer on Twitter.
All right. And stick around for some titles. Okay, who's got stuff?
Got all the stuff.
Ooh. Okay, well, it sounds like you do. Dennis, what do you have?
All right, I got five. I've got Crier, Laffer, or Incredible Hulk.
I'm just going to go Crier, Laffer, or Hulk.
Crier, Laffer, or Hulk works, yep. Edge That Game.
Okay, I also have Edge That Game.
I have that.
I have Edge That Game as well.
Oh, no. Considerate Corpse.
Okay, I have that.
Yep. Numb to Truck.
I also have that.
And then As Jason Do.
As Jason Do. All right, David, how about you?
Sure. The only additional one I have is The Chosen One and Their Friends, or The Chosen One and Friends, some variant on that.
Okay.
Would be a great name for a band.
The Chosen One and the Friends. is that all?
Yep.
Okay. Ben.
I got two that would not be helpful because they're long, but Burn It to the Ground for the Insurance Money. And This Date Would Be Better If You Were Linda.
Okay. I'm going to write it down. Man, that takes a long time to type. So Edge That Game has the most votes right now. I feel like we've done like a lot of suggestive stuff recently.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Numb to Truck actually made me laugh out loud when I heard it again. And also it relates to a game. How do you guys feel about going with Numb to Truck?
I'm fine.
That would have my vote.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that. Yep.
Okay. It is settled. Cool. Well, I will be seeing a lot of you this weekend. Sorry, Ben.
That's okay. I'll see you guys at some point.
Yeah.